Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast. This is David Nagel. I'd like to welcome you to the Successful Mind Podcast. And today we have celebrity fitness trainer Rebecca Louise. This woman is absolutely amazing in what she does and what she has done. So let me just read her bio for you, and then we're going to get into the conversation. She became an NASM certified personal trainer in 2012. Originally from the UK, she had dreams of becoming a pilot. Arriving in the United States in 2012, her dreams became a reality, and life took a different turn when her entrepreneurial spirit took control. She's gained millions of followers through her app, Burn, and a YouTube channel since starting out in 2016, and I just want to drop that you've got to go to her YouTube channel and watch her do her thing. She's absolutely amazing. And at age 17, she suffered from anorexia and body image issues, and when she moved to the United States, she built a business based on health and wellness, which included a community of over 4 million followers across her website, Instagram, and Facebook, Twitter, and her YouTube channels. Her Burn app has 8,000 plus subscribers in over 35 countries. She currently works and lives in Huntington Beach, California, and travels the country and world to meet her audience in person for pop-up fitness camps. Rebecca, welcome to this podcast.
Thank you so much. Thank you. What a nice introduction.
Thanks for being here. I was saying before we started recording, I was told about you through my CEO, Steph. And she talked to you and she told me your story. And I was like, just glued listening to her when she was telling me about you. So I was wondering if you'd start off by telling our listeners a little bit about you and your story. And maybe we could get into some of the challenges that you've had in life that'll help other people with the same types of issues.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, first of all, thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm a huge fan and love everything that you stand for. So I'm really blessed and honored to be in this space. And, you know, my journey started when I really decided that my vision and what I wanted for myself was to be in another country. You know, I'm from England. My accent gives that away. And I grew up watching Laguna Hills on MTV. And I was like, one day I'm going to live in Laguna Beach. I'm going to be on Pacific Coast Highway. I'm going to have a convertible. And I really feel like every single step that's happened in my life has led me to being, you know, in where I am right now, in my office, you know, with my team around me. And it's just been the most craziest journey. And so I came to America when I was 23 years old, originally to try and get my pilot's license. So I thought that, you know, I wanted to travel the world and, you know, see places. And, you know, being a pilot, you know, you do travel, but maybe not to the places that you typically would have on your bucket list. But I came to America, I got my whole pilot's license. I went back to England, got all my written exams. And then it came to a point where I was like, hang on a second, I don't quite see myself going to an interview to be a pilot. I was like, that's not my calling. You know, and I'm sure that so many people have been in places where they're like, I think this is the right direction. And then you get there and you're like, hang on a second. This doesn't feel right. This is weird. This doesn't feel right. This doesn't sit with me. And often we go through that. We just keep on going because we're like, oh, we've gone so far. We're supposed to keep going. But for me, I knew, you know, I was 25 years old. I was like, this is not my calling. But I loved America. I was like, that is my calling. You know, okay. I did my pilot training in Long Beach. And, you know, I managed to get myself a visa together and a working visa in 01 to come out to the States. And I just started to go for auditions and seeing what this British accent could do and kind of just took it from there, really, and got onto a YouTube channel. I built that to 3.2 million subscribers. We filmed to 18 months. And then afterwards they decided, you know what? We don't want to do YouTube anymore. And I was like, this is crazy. We're onto something amazing. You know, I got paid $40 per episode and, you know, they were making all the money. I was doing all the work. Okay. And after they kind of finished filming, It took me about a year to get my confidence up to create my own videos. So if anybody's out there like thinking, I don't know if I can do this, I don't have the confidence, it really is just about taking that first step to saying like, and owning it and knowing that it is possible. And obviously from that, me doing my own channel and creating my own brand, I've been able to have a fitness app and we do retreats and we have merchandise and I have an incredible team. So, you know, it's just amazing the journey. And I'm so grateful for all of the mistakes that I've made. I think that's the best thing.
Yeah. So, all right, so let me ask you this question. How did you go from being a pilot to being a fitness expert? And by the way, I watched one of your videos today on comparison, and I thought it was on Instagram. I thought it was absolutely genius the way that you explained that about not comparing yourself to another person. So like for everybody that's listening, I'm telling you, you have to check out her videos. She's absolutely amazing. But I'm really interested in how do you go from pilot to fitness expert? How does that happen?
Yeah, so I grew up playing sports. I was a South of England field hockey player, field hockey. I was sports captain at school. I was in all of the teams. It would be me rallying up people to try and play, you know, the soccer game at the end of the day. So I'd always grown up with sport and I felt like I just loved being part of a team. And I moved to London when I was 19 years old. I was still playing field hockey. I was still like working out in the gym. But, you know, to me, honestly, like when I walk into a gym, it's very intimidating, even for someone like me who knows exercise, because I would like look at a piece of machinery and still do. And I'm like, if you've looked at it for more than 15, 20 seconds and you still can't figure it out, you either try and do it and look weird, or you're like, okay, yeah, I'm just not going to use that machine today. It's not in my practice, you know, and you walk away. So I never had that confidence to go into a gym and just use all the equipment because they look complicated. So when I came to America at 23 years old, I got my commercial pilot's license because I just needed, at the time I was living in London and I needed a change. I needed a change of scenery. I was a club promoter. I'd worked in a bank. I was in a girl band. There was just a lot of things, kind of messy things going on too. And I've done a lot of jobs. And so we had that volcano ash cloud in Iceland. Do you remember that?
I do. I sure do.
It grounded all the planes. And I was in my flat in London and I remember walking behind my sofa and I said the swear word and I said, I'm going to be a pilot. And that was literally the vision. I was like, this is going to get me out of the situation I'm in right now. I need to just have something drastic happen to me. I wasn't treating my body well. I wasn't, you know, giving myself the right fuel. I was, you know, I was out drinking. I was a club promoter on top of, you know, a bunch of other things that I was trying to create a career from. And so I got to America, I did my pilot's license. And like I said, I was like, this just isn't me. But I always grew up watching a TV host shows. There's a show in England called Blue Peter, which is a kid's show. And I wanted to be a host of a show. And so I started going for these auditions in Los Angeles once I got my visa. And I went for one and it was to be on a fitness channel. And they were filming for like 6 weeks. They didn't like who their host was and they wanted to switch up their channel. And I realized that my one talent in life is talking and working out at the same time because I love TV hosting and I loved exercise and I love, you know, fitness. I'm like, this is it. This is what I was meant to do. And, you know, we go back and I used to watch all of the workout videos you get on DVD, even like a VCR, like old school.
Right.
And it was like, wow, this is, and you know, when you like do something where you're like, this feels so natural and it feels so right. I was like, this is my thing. Like, this is how I'm going to be able to be that TV host and be myself, because I would go to so many auditions and especially in London too, when I get rejected because I was too short, I was too tall, my hair wasn't the right color, I wasn't the right look, I didn't look right. But when you go on YouTube, you get to be whoever you want to be. And no one apart from your own audience can kind of discredit you because it's not like a casting agent or somebody who's, you know, trying to get a casting for a TV show.
Exactly.
So for me, I was like, this is full freedom. I can be myself. And I just found like this was my calling.
Well, you know, I watched several of your actual exercise videos on YouTube and Steph said to me, she's like, she kind of found this out because she realized that she could exercise and talk at the same time. And I was like, huh, okay, I got to see this. So I've seen exercise videos before. I think everybody's seen some kind of exercise video before, but it's really true. You have a gift for doing that. Like I watched you were doing an ab workout, and during the ab workout, you were talking about how they get points, and with the points, they can get a mat and they can get a cup or whatever it was that you were saying. And I was also watching what you were doing with your body at the same time. And I was thinking to myself, because I speak for a living, I have for 20 years. I was like, that takes a hell of a lot of coordination to be able to do that and think about something completely different while you're moving your body the way that you're moving it. And then to bounce back and forth between the subject matter as fluently as you actually do it. I mean, I was like, that's actually pretty astounding. She really does have a gift for this outside of like all the great workouts and stuff and nutrition and stuff that you're talking about and that type of thing. But what I find kind of really interesting, and one of the things that I absolutely love when I get to interview people or talk to people or meet people around the world is like, what was their struggle in life? What did they have to go through? Because like right now, if somebody goes and they search you, they're going to see this beautiful woman who's extremely fit and you know, you have all this success, but it wasn't always that way, right? Like there were times where you were struggling, you didn't know what you wanted to do, and you also went through some challenges with body image and being anorexic. So could you talk about that a little bit? How did that come about and how did you beat that or overcome it in your life?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a really important and pivotal moment in my life. I was around 16 years old and I changed schools. And the new school that I went to at 16, I was so excited to go to it because it was a private school. And in England, it's expensive to go to a private school. I think they call them public schools in America. And it was all about sports. Like I had to work super hard to get into this school. I got a full scholarship because my parents couldn't afford to send me there. So I worked really hard to be able to prove myself and get there. And when I got there, I got severely bullied, really bullied. I didn't have any friends there. And I felt like I just like lost control. I was down to 86 pounds when I was like 16, 17 years old. And I'm like 5'2.5". So that, yes, it was tiny. And it was the only thing that I could control. And it was also in the era where we had like the Olsen twins and Nicole Richie and Kate Moss and all the really skinny models, which is why I love what I do even more now, because in this era, it's about being fit. It's about being curvy. It's about being healthy. And, you know, back then it really was all of these models like fainting and models dying on the catwalk. Because there was this huge thing about being size zero and being as skinny as you can. And I think I was in that era too. I'd also struggled, you know, with bullies at school. And that was the only thing that I could control. And I remember going on a vacation with my parents to Portugal. And I would literally eat like for lunch, maybe like two pieces of cucumber, some seeds, and like a tiny piece of ham or something so small, because I was just so being controlled. I thought I was in control, but it wasn't. The food was controlling me. And I had bad skin and I had bad energy. And I look back now and I think that I would have been such a great athlete. I wasn't a very good athlete. I was like probably the top, you know, 5%. But I could have got to that top 1% had I have been giving my body the right fuel that it needs. Okay. So, you know, after I got out of that school, you know, I wasn't with those people anymore that were bullying me. I moved to London. And I kind of gained a little bit of control back because London's a great cosmopolitan place. People go out for dinner. But then I wasn't really looking after my body and feeding it good nutrition. So it was probably only when I turned 25 that I got started on a nutrition plan that changed my life, that taught me about macronutrients and carbohydrates are actually good for you. You know, for years I've like would not eat carbs because, you know, they're under the impression that they're bad for you. So it's taken a long time for me to get to that place of being really content with my body and knowing that it's about being healthy. And I just want energy. At the end of the day, like food gives you energy, and having energy and being able to be productive and all the things that I have to do, I have to feed my body good nutrition. Right. Otherwise, I'm not capable of doing it. So for me, it's a bigger thing about actually, you know, wanting to be the best version of myself and a role model for other people.
Okay, so let me ask you this. So Are you telling me that you just became aware that you were doing something unhealthy yourself? Like, did you become aware you were anorexic, or did somebody say something to you, or was it a medical exam? What happened?
Yeah, I was totally aware of what I was doing, and I would have to go to the doctors like every couple of weeks and they would weigh me. And I remember going one time, she's like, oh, Rebecca, like you've dropped another pound. And inside I was like, yes, like, woohoo, right? But then to her, I was like, oh no, like that's really bad. You know, so I knew what I was doing. Like okay. I was completely aware of it.
So what precipitated the change then? Because that's, I mean, there's people that not only do they struggle with it, there's people that die from it, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a real horrible thing for people that are suffering with that. What caused you to change and say, I'm done with this. I need to get myself healthy.
I think it's changing your environment. I mean, I've struggled a lot over the years with, you know, going out and partying, drinking, alcohol, and then like food. And it's always been around the people that I'm with. And as soon as you change your environment, you know, we are the average of the five people that we hang around with. Yeah. Five years ago, I was actually married. So I got married. I've been divorced. And so I took myself out of that relationship because there was drugs involved. There was alcohol. It wasn't right for me. And at the time, I didn't have another group of friends. Like my group of friends were his because he was American. So I had to make the strong decision myself to move out of that environment so that I could be the best version of me. So, you know, if there's anyone out there that's struggling with something, it's like, it's, you have to change your environment. Unless you're super strong, that you can change it and you can still have influence from other people. But I think that's very, very difficult. And I think it really prolongs the process to becoming healthy.
I would absolutely agree with you. I tell people all the time, I mean, I take a different aspect. I work with people on their businesses, help them become successful, help them become 7-8-figure business earners. And very often they're in relationships that are extremely toxic that don't allow them to make the changes that they need to make in order to be successful in their life. And we're always telling them, look, your environment is everything. Like you're not going to you're not going to raise yourself above the environment that you tolerate for yourself. So what's interesting about what you're saying, like with your ex-husband and the drinking and drugs and stuff, was there also a process for you of standing in your own authority? Because you said you were bullied, right? And that's kind of that, you know, the changing of the schools and then the bullying started to precipitate this need to control. But it also says, I didn't have the ability to defend myself in some way, or at least, you know, create a boundary, you know, state what I was about, it really control my direction. So all of that process, like with your husband and everything, that sounds to me like you were learning those skills also. Is that true?
Oh, I feel like I'm learning skills all the time. I mean, every time new things come into you, and I don't think you ever stop learning that or ever stop really standing your ground. And sometimes things hit you in the face where you're like, wow, like I've lost myself. Like, you know, we all go through like funks, right? When we feel like we're losing ourselves. And that's the time when we really have to look inward about what our actions are, because you can't just blame everybody else. You know, you have to take your responsibility for that. You know, I'm not saying that I was like an angel in everything, because that's 100% not true. We're not. I take 100% responsibility for my actions. And I know that me getting out of that environment and then changing myself, like looking inwards and changing, enabled me to become a better individual and a better human being that's able to give back to others. Because if you're not fully, you know, content within yourself and happy, you can't give back to other people because you're not even like half full. So it really takes a lot of work on yourself and just like looking yourself in the mirror and like waking up. Sometimes you have to wake yourself up. You know, it's not just about blaming other people for things that are happening. And especially in my life right now, I'm so blessed. Everything is great. And when something does go wrong or it's kind of a little bit off, I'm like, okay, this is me. You know, it's about me. And let's take a look, Rebecca, about what's happening or why you're getting frustrated quicker. Are you tired? Are you hungry? Have you not worked out enough? Have you not been giving enough? And so for me, now it's about realizing that when I do start to feel a little bit irritation or frustration, it's like, okay, let's take a moment and look inwards to see what I can do to improve to help everybody else.
That's fantastic. I hear a lot about, and I don't know if Steph mentioned this to you or not, but she has a master's degree in nutrition, and she used to own her own sports nutrition business before 10 years ago, before she worked with me. I hear a lot about people that suffer from depression, anxiety, and a lot of it is food related and, you know, poor diet, food sensitivities, lack of exercise. I guess you kind of experimented with your own nutrition, like what worked for your body. Would that be correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I have a plan that I follow that works for me.
Okay. And when you work with other people, do they bring issues like that to you? Like, do they tell you this is what I'm actually experiencing? And you know, from a nutrition perspective, like your nutrition's off, you need to really take a look at that in order to get this under control. Because I guess the question I'm trying to get at is this. I know how difficult it is just for working with thousands of people to make significant changes to get their life going in the right direction. But how much of it do you think is based in nutrition that is just messing with their brain and their hormonal system and all of that, that makes it more difficult for them to actually change?
You know what's so interesting is that this is a personal story that's happened to me recently. And I think it is everything to do with the food and the drink that you put into your body. So in May was my birthday month. I had like some other fun things. We went to New York. You know, there was just a lot of like, I was completely like off the wagon. Like I was completely like derailed. And okay. You know, it ended it with a trip to Vegas to see Lady Gaga. Like that was the end of May. And through that time, you know, I was drinking more than I normally would. My nutrition plan was, I'd still like be healthy, but I was definitely not being conscious about the extra, you know, truffle fries or the desserts or things that I was happening. And I've just come back from like 4 days of being in Costa Rica and to an amazing resort where I didn't drink and I was feeding my body healthy food. I was exercising early in the morning. I was getting a lot of sun. And it is like night and day, like how I feel and how more in control I am. And I think that's the biggest thing that I've realized is that you're not in control of yourself and your business when you're eating and drinking food that isn't good for you, because you can't be, you're not your best, because, you know, at the end of the day, like food is your fuel and what you eat is what you are. You know, we are what we eat. And so just having those 4 days of being like kind of getting back into my groove of where I'm like, I'm so happy. I feel so much more content. It really even woke my eyes up again to know how important nutrition, drinking enough water, not drinking too much alcohol, you know, making sure that you're getting your greens in and you're stretching every day and you're doing some yoga or you're getting your heart rate up. Like, I think it is like the most important part to having a successful business is to look after your body first.
Okay. Well, that makes a hell of a lot of sense. If a person downloads your Burn app, talk to me about your Burn app. What does that do?
Yes, I love the Burn app, and we have thousands and thousands and thousands of subscribers, and you know, it's just such an amazing community. So every single day they'll get a new workout from me. It's 28 minutes. It varies from kickboxing to weights to abs to like, it's different every single day, which keeps your body going. It keeps it not plateauing. On a Sunday, we have like a really nice relaxation meditation video for them. So kind of reboots them for the new week. They have daily recipes, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, some snack ideas. And then they can also share their workouts. So they do the workouts, share food photos, share our daily motivation, and they'll be able to collect points. And those points, they'll actually be able to turn into dollars that they'll be able to spend in our store for things like yoga mats and workout apparel. So you'll actually kind of get paid for working out and being healthy. So they love that because it's like, well, they want the brand new burn mat. Well, just earn it, you know, by getting in shape. So I love to reward people for and recognize them for the hard work. So that's why the app has become so successful, because people just love working hard for their own results, which they're going to get. And then also some extra items along the way.
You have to be making an enormous difference in people's lives. How does that feel for you to know that you're doing that?
You know what? It's funny because people, and I do get recognized. The other Saturday night, I was recognized. I was out for dinner and she was like, I've been following your videos for 5 years and I love your podcast. And for me, I'm more interested in their story. So I, you know, straight away, I'm like, you know, what do you do? Like, what's your favorite video? Like, why is this important to you? And I don't really feel like it sinks in. Like, we do fit camps around the world. We had 60 people in Ecuador just turn up in a park for a workout. Wow. And I feel like I kind of like the fact it's not sunk in, because I still feel like I'm one of the girls, like I'm one of the community. And I feel like that's what keeps us in the office like so humble and grounded, is that we just had a bunch of messages in today saying that the calendar that we created this month of workouts is the best one ever. And I think for me, I just want to provide a really good service that, you know, is in working order, that people are getting results from. Yeah. And it's about them. Like, you guys did the work. Like, yes, I provided it, but you know, if they didn't do the work for it and got the results, it's really them. So I feel like that really keeps us grounded.
Fantastic. Okay. Now one more question. What's hard for you right now? Like in your life, what do you find that's difficult?
What do I find that's difficult? You know what? I always just look for a solution in things so fast. Things that are difficult to me, I just look at them as an opportunity of the universe testing me to see if I'm ready for the next chapter. And my job is just to pass that test and level up so that the universe can test me with something more difficult. So, you know, right now, I think my biggest challenge is my poor dog who went to get his nails cut 2 weeks ago. They cut his nails too short that made he wouldn't put his hand down. And then, you know, he licked his hand so much that it's now infected and it's like gone so much worse. And the vets won't take responsibility for it. So I think that is actually the most difficult thing I've been through. And then, you know, he's actually there right now. They're like draining his foot and all the things. So, yeah, that's probably the most difficult thing I'm dealing with right now is working with the vets.
You know, it's really interesting because I ask people that question often, and I'm always really interested in, like, in their viewpoint of the world, like, how do they think about things being difficult or challenges or whatever? And what's really cool about your answer is that you know that everything that comes into your life is a challenge to take you to the next step. And if you overcome that challenge and you learn and you grow and you experience that, it's going to move you forward in your life. If I was to ask you to kind of wrap this to an end, if you were to leave everybody with one successful mind tip, what would you say to them?
The biggest tip for mindset is if you think you can or if you think you can't, you're right. So in my brain, there is nothing that I think is impossible. And
has it always been that way?
No.
So that was a decision on your part to really take that belief on for you.
That was, yeah, because it's not easy to really retrain your brain.
Right.
It takes time. And for me, I believe that everybody has a choice in everything that you do. And people say, oh, I don't have a choice. I don't have time to work out, or I can't afford to do this. No, that's your choice if you can't afford it, because you're not doing the thing that you need to bring in the income to be able to make that decision. So everything is your choice. So if you think you can, or if you think you can't, you're right. So have that mindset to be, I can do this. It is possible, because then you're halfway there. If you're like, well, it's never going to happen, I can't. No, you are so right. It is never going to happen. But having that mindset and that belief in yourself that you can do something, and all you've got to do is put that first step forward and make it happen. There's no such thing as being stuck. You just haven't decided to take the first step, because as soon as you take that first step, you're going to be unstuck.
That is awesome. Thank you so much. For everybody that's listening, Rebecca doesn't know this because I haven't shared this with her yet, but for all of you that are part of our Transformation 2019, which is, that's part, I started it this year, Transformation 2019, for myself, because I wanted to lose weight and take better care of my body since I had an accident years ago where I broke my back, and that's always kind of plagued me. So the weight has crept on over the years, and I've lost 54 pounds since the first of the year. So I've been working really good with that. But I know that there's other people that are in our Transformation 2019 Facebook page. You should, for those of you that are still struggling with your nutrition and with your weight, I highly recommend that you go check out Rebecca's website. What's your website?
It's Rebecca-Louise.com.
Rebecca-Louise.com, and download her Burn app and get involved in that. She's amazing. She has fantastic energy. She's fun. Top quality videos, and I think you get a lot from it. Just go do it. You won't regret it, and it'll help you for the rest of the year. So Rebecca, thank you so much for sharing your story and being vulnerable. And I you're just such an inspiration to people all over the world. Congratulations for what you're doing.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Okay. Take care, everybody. See you on the next Successful Mind podcast. Bye. Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.